This is the Spudcast. My name is Stas.
And I'm Jared.
And we're here to basically get spotty.
And this is the collected edition first episode of Spudcast.
Very exciting. No, really.
Apparently.
Yes, right. The idea of this thing is basically just to talk about things that interest us, get on the occasional extra person and just, you know, take it up, really.
And waffle.
Yes, waffle. Yes, waffles. We should mention waffles.
Yes, Rambling Waffles is a website and an IRC group, both of which should be listed on our website as addresses when we finally get our website up and running.
Yes.
Which is, of course, at www.spodcast.org.
For which there will be a jingle soon. Anyway, more of that later. Okay, so this week several things have happened, but starting with the biggest and most important thing, Apple released their Mighty Mouse.
Yes, they released a mouse with, I was going to say loads of buttons, but in actual fact it has no buttons, being the same zero button design as before, only it's got side clickable shoulders, a trackball, tiny little clitoral sized trackball in the middle, and right and left click on a shroud, much like the old single button mouse, but it detects which finger you're clicking with. Now, mine arrived last week. Let's carry on.
I was just going to ask, is the trackball actually a trackball? Because it doesn't look like it can roll.
Oh, yeah.
It does roll.
Oh, yeah. 360 degrees, baby.
Terrible.
Oh, yeah. It's a very nice little trackball. There's also a button. You can press the trackball to bring up... Ooh, there it is. Brings up on my machine... I have it to bring up dashboard. I've got the side shoulder buttons to bring up expose, show all windows, and the left and right click, do left and right click. And it's good. There are a few downsides.
I was a little worried when I was reading it that nothing actually moves when you try and click it.
The whole case moves.
Yeah.
The whole case moves.
So you've just got to sort of angle it in the right direction and hope.
Nope. It's touch sensitive under each finger.
Ah.
It detects which finger you're clicking with.
Nice.
Bringing on one of the downsides. One of the downsides is if you've got your finger rested on the left click, you know, standard click,
yeah,
and you click on the right click to go down, it doesn't know which finger you're clicking with, so it defaults to left click. So you need to lift your finger off the left click to right click.
That must be something they can fix in the driver.
Presumably, I don't know. But...
Because that, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's a natural state to be in, to have both fingers just resting there.
I got used to it exceedingly quickly.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's because of the shape of the mouse. The mouse isn't so hunched over that you need to rest your entire paw on it.
Okay.
Because it's flat, you just rest the heel of your hand, and your fingers can just lift and wobble around and stuff. So the design of the mouse means that your hand's not arched over it, to the point where you're going to have a finger resting on it, because that's what gravity does.
Mm.
But I can imagine it's a bit annoying in computer games, where you do need to be able to use both mice. Like, if you're using one mouse to run, which is an old-style technique with Half-Life and Quake and the like, where you can have one of your buttons being the run machine, the run button. But I don't do that anymore anyway. But that could be a problem.
Does that mean you can't actually do a double, you know, click both buttons at once?
That's correct.
Hmm.
It assumes it's a left click.
I've come across software before that needs that. So
then you set the cord to be the middle buttons. And I wonder if you've actually come across Mac software that requires it.
Say no.
So I don't think Apple will care too much.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Yeah. However, I was playing Tiger Woods 2005 on the PC with it earlier. First...
It's PC compatible, isn't it?
It runs on Windows XP. The scroll wheel works wonderfully, apart from Windows software just isn't written for it.
So Apple don't do Windows drivers for it?
Don't need to. It's just got a right click, a left click, a spare click, and another click, and the scroll wheel does a scroll wheel.
Fair. Excellent.
It recognises, everything's done on the machine, on the mouse. The mouse handles all the techie stuff itself, and...
Right.
Sends it all to the computer list. It's very good.
Yeah.
But the first two holes I hit with in Tiger Woods 2005 with it were both eagles.
Now you're just showing off.
No, that was actually the best I had. After that, I realised the Mighty Mouse is exceedingly sensitive and takes some getting used to for golf. I had beginner's luck on those two shots. Yeah. I would have to say, for ease of use, my Microsoft Wireless IntelliMouse Explorer 2.0 is actually better for golf.
Okay.
And also the IntelliMouse looks more like a golf club head than the Mac Mouse does.
And that helps your technique, does it?
I'm sure it does in some way.
Yeah. Okay.
And I just want to reiterate to our listeners, golf sucks unless you're doing it on a computer. Just want to clear that up. I don't follow golf on telly, I don't play golf, and I don't have fat-ass trousers.
Make it clear, retain the reputation.
Yeah. The only things I have to do with golf are playing it on a computer and watching Happy Gilmore.
Ah, Happy Gilmore saw that.
Yes. Meet My Neighbor the Accountant. Huge ass.
Yes. Anyway.
Wonderful. Yes. Anyway, so that's the Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, so to wrap up that, it's $50, isn't it? Or £39.
Yeah, €55.
€55
for us here in France.
So where are you going to get it? Go get it.
App Store's where I got it. Good call.
Yeah. Cool. Right, moving on. Yes. The tablet.
Yes,
I acquired a tablet at the end of last week.
Was this through the magic of eBay?
It was through the magic of eBay. Even more ridiculous, it was the magic of eBay with a very nice seller. But I won't get into that story because...
No, we don't have all night.
No. The tablet. Runs XP Tablet Edition, obviously. It is the NEC Versa... 400, which I believe is the only tablet PC NEC have ever made. If you've come across NEC laptops before, you'll know that they tend to make them very, very small. Well, this is so small they decided not to include a keyboard with it. Holding it in my hand now, and it is literally just a screen with ports around the edges.
Didn't NEC do the palm top things, where it was literally a laptop with a half-height screen?
Yeah. Yeah, they were the first ones to come out with Super Mini notebooks.
Yeah.
I don't know what they like about them, but they seem to be very good at it. I'm most impressed so far. I like XP generally, but when you stick it on a tablet and go and get all the cool little toys that Microsoft have brought out for it, you start to realise what the appeal is. The handwriting recognition, which is... come on leaps and bounds since I last used it on an iPad. I'm a programmer, and when I write, I write a load of rubbish. But it can pick it up most of the time. I've been IRCing with it for the last week, and it's a bit slow to use, but most impressed.
Well, I've got a couple of old Apple Newtons right behind me, in fact, so I'm all very used to appalling handwriting recognition. Yeah. You say yours actually works?
It actually works. You've got to get used to a couple of things, like it's very good at mistaking L's for 1's and that sort of thing, so you do have to modify your writing slightly.
And you were typing a lot of 3's instead of E's as well.
Yeah, that was when I switched to the keyboard. The handwriting was annoying me one day, so I switched to the on-screen keyboard. And the keyboard stretches to the width of the screen. So if you've got it in landscape mode, you end up with the E being the other side, you know, miles away from anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Typing on that was quite difficult. But switch it to portrait and you end up with all the keys where you'd expect them to be right distance apart and so on.
Have you tried it with a USB keyboard yet?
I haven't, because I don't have one. Oh!
The Mac one?
I have a Mac keyboard. I do, yes. that's a good point. No, I haven't. I will do that. But the seller has assured me that he does have the USB keyboard and he's just moved house and he will send it as soon as he finds it.
Very nice man.
Heard that one before though from other sellers, so... So far he's been quite good to me. Props to Father Abraham, as he calls himself.
And also you need to check out the handwriting recognition on the Mac to see how it compares with that on XP Tablet Edition. So apparently the inkwell at the moment, the latest version of Apple's handwriting, isn't bad. And in fact, I've actually got a Wacom in the next room. I could go and get one and test it, but I just haven't.
Yes, I was going to say I would do that, but I sold my Wacom to Floozy.
Of course you did, yes.
So
and she's very happy with it as well.
She is. She keeps telling me every time I see her. Anyway. yeah, she's got a bargain there, I'll tell you.
Yeah. Well, hello, Floozy. We know you're listening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we must get her on.
Yeah.
To talk about, you know, pets.
Veterinary concerns.
Yes. Animals that throw up.
fly-blown dogs.
Pardon?
Fly-blown dogs, or was it fly-blown sheep? I think it might have been fly-blown sheep, in fact. So when she was over in Australia.
I understand the confusion.
Yes, she was over in Australia, which is obviously she's Australian, and she was telling me tales of when she had to work on farm sheep that had been filled full of maggots that turned into flies that flew out of holes, and it was horrible. So she can come on and tell you all about that.
That sounds lovely. Yes, coming soon to a podcast near you. Oh my god. Let's move on. So tablet, great. Looking forward to seeing what they're going to do with it in the future. If you're thinking of getting one, get one with a keyboard, because it'll annoy the crap out of you otherwise. Right, onwards. You're next.
Oh yes, I was recently reading on DP Review, which is at dpreview.com, an excellent digital camera reference site that has reviews of pretty much everything you could ever want, that Panasonic are releasing the DMC-F Z30, which is, I mean, Panasonic doesn't exactly conjure up images of photography, but the FZ30 is supposedly quite nice because it has a good lens and a goodly amount of megapixels. Now, if anyone who's ever met me in real life will tell you, I have the FZ20 and cannot shut up about how good it is.
This is very true.
Because it's got the lens, which has the magic word Leica written around the outside, which is very, very nice for a digital camera.
Very nice for any camera.
Yeah, 12 times zoom, Leica lens, 5 megapixels. I love my FZ20 to bits, and I would tell you all about it apart from the fact my girlfriend has taken it to Scotland. She's on holiday, and she wouldn't go on holiday without taking the good camera. The FZ20 is an absolute marvel. It gets you play with all sorts of stuff, and if you like taking photographs and don't need an SLR, in my opinion, it's the best non-SLR digital camera on the planet. Until, of course, Panasonic announced the FZ30. And I was looking at the specs, and I'm not convinced. I can't see a reason to upgrade to the FZ30. More pixels, same sort of zoom,
right?
Same f2.8, which is humongous and amazing. F2.8 means you can get some really tight depth of field. It's great light gathering potential, but it's really, really good for those depth of field photos where you want the center to be in focus and everything else to be blurred. So the lens is about the same, and the only thing is there's more megapixels and a bit more money, and probably it's going to be the same sort of price, but if you're looking for a camera, I would recommend it, but I do not see a compelling reason to upgrade. There's nothing there that makes you go, ooh, must have that, ooh, more pixels, because, to be honest, 5 megapixels, perfectly good enough.
Is the zoom, they haven't changed anything in the zoom at all?
It's ever so slightly.
More less digital or anything like that?
No, it's more or less the same. I think there's an ever so slight change on the equivalence. I think it's now equivalent to slightly less millimeters length at the far end.
Okay.
But it's negligible.
Yeah.
Oh, and with a 12x zoom, of course, you need either a tripod or the software inside that makes it stop wobbling inside, which actually works. Technical name for it.
Software that does that?
I think there's some software and some hardware, and I believe it's called Wobbly Stoppy. Okay, that's my... Well, it's not really. But yeah, of course they are. But yeah. What am I going to say?
Just making sure, you know, Panasonic, new digital cameras, I wouldn't sure if, you know...
No, you never know, do you?
Yeah.
Well, they don't call themselves Panasonic, they call themselves Lumix, because nobody would associate the word Panasonic with pictures.
Whereas Lumix, we all know.
Oh, yes, because, of course, light, I see, luminous. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Let's take a sip of my lovely cup of tea.
Yes. Do we know anything about the prices of these?
look it up on dpreview.com because it's going to be different all the way, wherever you are in the world. Yeah. Pixmania is probably the best place to get it in Europe.
Pixmania?
Yeah, Pixmania.
Pixmania.com.
Pixmania.com.fr.co.uk, etc.
Oh, right.
It's good regional camera buying site.
Cool. We should say other camera buying sites are available. As are your local shops.
Endorsement of or mention of a particular site does not mean that we endorse it legally, etc. Blah, 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 blah.
Sorry, your endorsement of a particular site doesn't mean we endorse it.
Well, it doesn't mean we say that we're legally liable for your purchases that go wrong because somebody fucks up.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Anyway, moving on.
Yes.
Yes.
One of my favourite subjects, in fact.
Okay, yes, last weekend I took a trip to Dublin. Mainly for the Guinness, obviously, but it was also a friend of mine's birthday. They'd been there for the last 2 weeks. They did a around the coast of Ireland driving tour thing. 3,500 miles he drove, his girlfriend didn't. He was knackered.
Yeah.
But not so knackered he couldn't drink a lot of Guinness.
Well, I think the Guinness is because he was knackered.
Quite possibly, yes. Or he was knackered because of too much Guinness and too much driving together. But
Guinness is good for you. Guinness gives you strength.
They used to drink more Guinness than water in Ireland.
Well, with the Irish water, that's not particularly surprising.
Although that's before they called it Guinness, it was the first thing he started brewing. It was ale.
Porter, wasn't it? Was it a porter?
No. He started off brewing an ale. It's quite an interesting story, which I think I'll bore everyone with. I might get some facts wrong, and I do apologise for that, but there are places you can check these things. He bought an old brewery that was falling apart, paid the princely sum of £100, and signed a lease for 9,000 years at £45 a year, which is still ongoing. So
a bargain.
For that fairly small now part of the Guinness Brewery, they still pay £45 a year for it, and will for 8,900 years or so.
I presume the Dublin City Council, when they did this, thought, oh, we've got it for 9,000 years at king's ransom of £45! Ha ha ha!
Possibly.
And now Arthur Guinness is descending to go, bargain.
Yes. Unfortunately, the site is now a good probably 15 to 20 times larger than that. So they're probably paying extortionate rates on the rest of it. But yeah, he started brewing the ale, and he was brewing something like 5 or 6 barrels a day. And a friend of his from London sent him some porters, which was what was to become stout.
Mm-hmm.
Porters
used to be used as winter warmers when the breweries were switching over from their summer and autumn brews over to their winter ones. They made winter porters to tide you over the winter months.
Oh, right. It's called porters because the porters of London drank it a lot.
Oh.
I don't know what it was called before they started drinking it a lot. Maybe it had no name. Who knows?
That brown stuff.
Yes. The stuff that keeps us going. Anyway, he made the extraordinary decision to stop making the ale he was making and to devote the entire brewery to porters, which turned out to be a really good idea. So he brewed porters. It became something with a much longer name that ended in stout, and it was later shortened to just stout. I don't actually know when it changed to being referred to as Guinness.
Was it milk stout or something that it used to be called? Something milk stout?
I don't know, it was three words and I can't for the life of me remember. I was more interested in getting to the bar at the top of at the top of the tour.
Okay, in that case I applaud your expediency.
Yes. Speaking of which, if you ever go anywhere near Dublin, if you go to England, make sure you go to Dublin. The Guinness tour is fairly boring. There's some interesting stuff. But you get to the top and there is this thing they call the Gravity Bar, which is just a circular room with glass all around the outside and a bar in the middle. And it's so high up that you can literally see the whole of Dublin and the nice green hills of Ireland beyond. And that is worth the, whatever it was, £8, it was 14, 12, 13, 14 euros, something like that, to go on this tour. For which you got a free pint of Guinness as well when you got to the top. Didn't buy any more than one pint of beer, so I couldn't tell you how much it was after that, but I expect it was quite expensive.
I expect it's probably standard price now and then.
I don't know. But the thought of a pipe coming out of the end of the brewery and going up to your mouth is quite appealing.
Yeah. Well, I just went on a recent driving trip to through Ireland as well with some French friends. Yeah. And three Frenchmen who did not drink Guinness, and they decided to try it one night, you know, just for holiday sake. Well, we'll have a Guinness, then we'll go back to the lager.
Yeah.
And because I'm a huge, huge fan of Dublin Guinness. I used to go over to Dublin and bring back the cans and all that sort of stuff. Mm. Great stuff. And they had their first Guinnesses in Dublin, and that was all they drank over there. They never had a lager after that until they got back to the UK mainland in Wales. Mm. And even then, we waited until we got to Oxford, and then we had bitter. Yeah, they had to wait until they got back to France before they could have their yellow piss lager.
Lovely.
Hmm.
Yeah. I've never particularly liked Guinness, but, you know, when in Rome...
I've always liked Guinness.
Well, I had a pint and thought, this is not like the stuff at home, and I've been told it's completely different.
It doesn't travel.
That's what I was told.
There's stuff to do with pasteurisation and all that sort of stuff.
But they do make it slightly differently as well, because the stuff you tend to get in England comes from the brewery in London.
Yeah.
Which uses local water.
Yeah.
And the Dublin Guinness uses Dublin water. And apparently that makes quite a difference to the taste.
Much like the brewery valleys in the Midlands of England using the waters around the Trent.
I'm sure it's absolutely true.
Make better beer than the southern waters.
Oh, it must be true, because Mr. Guinness defended his right to use the local water supply with an axe. For more information on that, please look at the Guinness websites, because I can't actually remember why, or it was something to do with he thought his lease entitled him to use the local water supply, which ran past the brewery, and the local council or sheriff or whatever they had then didn't agree and sent his men round to cut off his water supply. And he stood there with an axe saying, "You knock it down, I'll build it again." Yes.
So we don't need to look it up, he told us his story.
Yeah, that's true, yes. Although the details might be a bit sketchy.
Yes.
But interesting things that he did also do was introduced a lot of the benefits we take for granted today for being employed. He gave free healthcare, he had a guaranteed pension, which apparently made all the men very attractive to all the women in Ireland, whether they were or not. He basically created a whole benefit-driven workforce.
He also built one of the local hospitals and destroyed the slums.
Yes, he did.
Which will kind of help him whenever you go to Dublin City Council for some planning. We need to build an extension on the Guinness factory. We'll think about it. Well, built houses, built a hospital. What do I have to do?
Yes. Yeah, it's very interesting. I suggest you go over there.
And drink lots of Guinness.
And drink lots of Guinness, yes. Aside from that, we went out in the evening to a very nice little Italian restaurant, which, again, I can't remember the name of, but I might look up and put it on the website if I feel like it. And then we went to Temple Bar, which is an area of Dublin just south of the river, which... Is it south of the river or north? Might be north.
Let's see, the skewer's north, so it's south.
It's just on one side of the river. And it's basically just a whole bunch of bars stuffed into the smallest amount of space possible.
Can get some genuine fake Irish bigorra singing and stuff.
Yes, you can, indeed. There's a little square in the middle of it where lots of little groups stay and sing their ditties and freakishly take their turn, which is good.
And also the pubs will try to get in some resident... student to sing the Wild Rover so that the tourists can bang their glasses on the table in time to being drunk.
Yeah. All the smoking thing's funny. For those that don't know, they've banned smoking in public places in Ireland. It's been quite a while now, so I thought people are used to it. But any building you go into or come out of, there's like 10 people standing outside smoking. So once you're in, you're okay. But you don't want to leave because you know you've got to fight your way through this mass of smoke.
That doesn't bother me because I smoke when I drink anyway.
Obviously, yes.
But I found it quite annoying because I was thinking, wouldn't mind a cigarette with my pint of Guinness. And I had to sit on the outside tables.
Which... Now, you want to find the Temple Bar in the middle of Temple Bar. If that's not confusing, nothing is. But they have an outdoor area which is actually just a square in the middle of the pub, which happens to have no roof. So when you go in there, there's like all the smokers stuck in this 3 meter square space with no roof, with smoke because you know it's got nowhere else to go. It ends up going into the pub. So all these little loopholes, nothing's really changed.
Well, apart from the fact that that's one pub. I mean, the other pub I came across had a tiny little bit where you could go outside and it's sort of tiny little beer garden. Yeah. And it looks so dingy, and I stopped that and just decided to wait until much later on at night when I had it. We all sat down on a bench, me and the non-smokers, and we all had some cigars that we bought at the local cigar shop nearby, just to celebrate being exceedingly drunk and watching the river go by at night. Yeah. And there are photographs of that. I may link to on the webpage.
Yes. Be careful what you tell people about.
Yes.
Anyway, other things to note. There's a very nice distillery in Dublin.
Is it Jameson's?
I can't remember.
Phoenix Park. There's Phoenix Park where there's the MGM Lion, the one that roars at the beginning.
Stephen the MGM Lion.
There's the statue of James Joyce.
You've got to go on the tour buses. There's two sets of tour buses. There's City Tours, which we didn't try.
No, I did.
Are they any good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Open top. As long as you got any open top bus, you'll hear the.
The guy just. I was going to get my money back because it said live. Live talking all the way around.
Yeah.
But some of the drivers obviously didn't know their stuff and were playing a recording. I was very disappointed with that.
I'm sure you were.
Yes. But yes.
Outrage!
And for 15 euros or whatever it is for a 24-hour ticket, you can't really go wrong.
Yeah.
Did find that we actually bought our tickets at about 11 o'clock in the morning and got up the following morning at 9 o'clock, got on a bus at 10, and there was no one on it. So early morning is obviously better if you're that way inclined.
Although who on earth can get up early after a night on the Guinness?
I was forced to.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we were only there for the weekend.
Fair enough.
Yes. So, yeah, Dublin. Good. Go.
Excellent.
Right. Onwards. Ooh, GeekRef.
Yes. Conquering the world.
For those who know us, we've had a little site called ramblingwaffles.net for quite some time. The idea of that was to build up a sort of reference library for... all techie stuff that we do, plus anything else we're interested in, rants and so on.
Be honest, it was to play with wikis.
Yeah, all right then. It was to play with wikis. We installed PHP Wiki, had a good time with that. Got a few bits of information on there, and it sort of filtered out, didn't it? Sort of died.
Mm.
But we had an idea. I can't remember how it came about. We created GeekRef. We grabbed the... media wiki system that Wikipedia use, which is a far, far better wiki than I've ever come across before, although Elliot was having problems with it, but let's not talk about that. And created geekref.net. Is it .net?
.net.
.net, yes.
Geekref.net.
That's GeekRef.net. And the idea is to make it all a bit more out there-ish. Rambling Waffles was very, very limited to people who are in our IRC channel, and GeekRef is intended to be thrown out to the world, because there doesn't seem to be, there's all these collaborative efforts of gathering information like Wikipedia and so on, but there doesn't seem to be anything that's sort of geared towards sysadmins and techie computer users, or to put it another way, geeks.
It was down to Fred, wasn't it?
Was it? I think it was.
Fred wanted to find an ASCII table.
Ah, yes.
And we thought there should be some place for this.
And there was.
We really need something.
There was. There's some... was it ASCIItable.com?
Yep.
But it was shown as an image, number one.
Yeah, as a GIF, so you couldn't copy and paste from it.
And number two, it had, like, 10,000 adverts around it. Which is fine. I mean, when you get to a certain level, you need to start paying for things, but seriously, that was a bit ridiculous.
It stopped being useful.
Yeah, speaking of which, we haven't actually put an ASCII table on Geekcraft yet.
No, the reason for its existing, that's because the only ones we could find were pictures, and we didn't want to steal somebody else's work.
Yeah, I think I've got it in a back of a GW basic manual somewhere. I'm like scanning an OTR and shove on.
And check the copyright date on it.
Oh, obviously.
Well, it's an ASCII table.
Date from 80-something. Yes, the intention is to just build it up. So if you want to contribute, please do. Just go along, create yourself an account. There's no major barriers between you and putting up your own content. We do.
Although, anonymous posting, I believe, is disabled.
Yes, I finally found out how to do that.
Which makes sense to me.
Yes, we need an email address. However, at the moment, it doesn't actually check the email address is valid. But
it does mean you can trace one person's changes.
Yeah, as opposed to the way it does it otherwise, which is by IP, it just logs the IP that did it, which is obviously not reliable at all. The only thing we ask is that a certain amount of structure is retained. Spent a bit of today putting in some structure to put in the stuff we've got on so far. We're migrating all the technical content from ramblingwaffles.net over. And we hope people start using it and sharing their stuff and, you know, make it a reference people want to use. That was it, really.
Have you got some wobbly paper on your side?
Wobbly paper? No.
There's noise.
I...
Ah, there it is.
Okay. It's me, is it?
It's gone now.
We should say, actually, how we're doing this. Because Jared is in France, residing in the old Paris. And,
hee-haw, I'm chomping on an onion as we speak.
Oh, I wonder what the smell was.
Yeah, Alan.
And I'm just outside London. And we've got it set up so that we're recording a Skype call.
Aren't we the other Guildford Spodcast?
The other Guildford... Yes. Mr. Adam
Curry. Or podcast, rather.
It's his fault that I'm into podcasting and I've introduced Jared to the Adam Curry podcast. And it's all, you know, taking off a bit.
Because I was using, Your Mac Life's Trash Talk on Fridays was my regular podcast that I was listening to. So a quick shout out to those other podcasters who are doing fun stuff. Yay to Your Mac Life Trash Talk on Fridays, and yay to Adam Curry's Daily Source Code.
And there's some other great stuff out there as well. You can listen to a guy taking a dump every day.
The Daily Download.
Yep. There's other stuff. If you want to find these, I mean, iTunes is the best way to do it at the moment.
Without doubt.
But there are other ways. There's iPodder.org, which lists podcasts. PodSafe Music Network, which Adam Curry has been involved in getting set up, which is about making music freely available for use in podcasts.
Which is an excellent, excellent idea.
Yes, in fact, later we will play something from a group called Cruise Box.
Oh, excellent.
which is saying what podcasting is all about in a nutshell, and a nutshell with a beat.
And it's currently Adam Curry's anthem.
Yes.
So we'll be paying homage to him as well as to Cruise Box for it.
Well, I don't actually know what the sequence of events were, but I remember Adam saying a little while ago in his Daily Source Code that he wished someone would write some music about his podcast, and lo and behold, it's happened. He's actually mentioned in the Cruise Box song.
Dave, so, check.
I assume that was a result of his comment. But you never know. You never know. So yeah, podcasting, it's great. we'll put a whole bunch of links on where to find other podcasts and so on.
In fact, we could have the musical interlude now!
We could, yes, since we haven't got things set up yet to play music and record this, but we'll work on that, so it's going to be post-produced.
And we can then put in a musical interlude gap, and then afterwards we can come back and you can tell us all about how we're doing this podcast technically.
Yes. So, here's some music.
last summer when mainstream radio was such a fucking bummer. No indie music, nothing too funny. Clear Channel motherfuckers did it for the money, but somebody heard the call. Computer, that piece of shit was like a freaking roto-rooter. Now we've got Wi-Fi, downloading files fast, listening to everyone who's ever done a podcast. It's history, now you see each and every nation. Radio has got to go, it's our emancipation. Play that song, sing along, mash it up and mix it. Radio is fucking loads of Adam Curry fixed it.
There's a song I can't stop singing in my head whenever I'm walking along the street with my iPod on.
It does have that effect on me. Anyway, right, yeah, oh, technically, what
were yes. we doing? Yes, how do we do this?
Right, well, it's kind of bizarre. Skype, I don't know if people know, has an amazing ability to mute the microphone somewhere between the input getting into the machine and the output coming out of the speaker. So I can't actually hear myself right now. But Jared can, and the recording thing can. So on the single machine I have, this is where it gets funny, two copies of Skype running, logged into two different accounts.
And this is on XP, isn't it?
This is on Windows XP, yes.
We need to clarify that you're running XP and I'm actually on dual processor G5 running iOS 10.
You're showing off again.
If you had a dual processor G5, you'd mention it.
That's true, I would. By the way, donations are welcome. Anyway, yes, so we got two accounts logged in at the same time on the same machine, and basically I conferenced in from one of the accounts to the other account and Jared, and using our wonderful systems called virtual audio cables, which again I'll have to put a link to, you connect up the various bits and pieces with, you know, outs go into there and ins go into there and so on and so forth, and I'm using a bit of free software called WavePad to record it.
I believe this sort of thing's possible using SoundFlower on the Mac, but yeah. I've not tried it.
Well, SoundFlower, I think, is basically the same as the virtual audio cables thing. Lets you route inputs and outputs from different applications to different places. On a virtual cable, as I understand it, installs itself as another audio card with lots of inputs and outputs. I think it can have up to 256 inputs and outputs. It's not free. You do have to buy it. It's $30. And if you're going to be doing this sort of thing, it is well worth it, because it took no time at all to get it up, to get this system up and running.
And it goes against our usual, let's do everything with free software.
Yes.
Kind of unwritten philosophy.
Yes, I did actually buy a copy of Cast Blaster as well, which again we'll link to, but that's a system for creating podcasts where you can mix together music and text and stuff, and what I'll probably end up doing is playing this back in Cast Blaster and mixing in the music to
get the file. In post-production.
Yeah. But yes, I mean, free software's great, but if you have to pay for it to get what you want, it's worth it.
Well, developers need to eat as well.
Absolutely.
I have no qualms about paying for good software. Well, you are a developer. You're paid to do it.
I am. They pay me peanuts, and, you know, I give them animated monkeys. I do hope none of them listen to this. They're very, very nice people.
Lovely people, lovely people.
Yes. Anyway.
Whereas Stutz is a developer, and I'm a sysadmin. I manage websites and services and servers and stuff like that. And my employers, will, being French, will probably be listening to me and saying, oh, I don't understand if he's not going hee-haw, hee-haw, chomping on an onion.
Yeah. Okay. Onion.
Alan Partridge quotes! Can't have any of them.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a bit lost now.
Anyway. You wanted to discuss Apple's wonderful move to the x86 processor.
Well, I don't know about so much discuss it as mention it. It's kind of huge.
I don't think anyone would have missed it, to be honest. But.
No. So yeah, recently Apple announced something that's pretty much been on the cards for a long time. They are moving their processor architecture over to x86. I don't know much about the technical details, but I do know that speed-wise and possible compatibility with PCs is going to go through the roof.
Well, the speed thing is, the common misconception is that Apple are doing it because the Intel processors today are faster than the G5.
Yeah, no,
at which point, why are they lying about their processors being blah, 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 blah. No. But the actual truth is that the G5s are fine. Very nice processors, do the business, but IBM doesn't seem to be scaling them as well as they could. They promised Steve Jobs and Apple that they would have 3 gigahertz ones by a certain time, and Steve Jobs then went and promised the Apple community that he would have 3 gigahertz max by last summer.
Is this something where IBM promised something and didn't deliver, or something they couldn't deliver?
They promised something that they thought they could deliver. They honestly thought they could.
So have they actually hit some sort of technical limit on the speed? Or is it just a case of them slacking?
It's a case of probably they wanted to get onto other stuff like the cell processor.
Ah, yes.
Which means that currently the G5 is perfectly okay. It's a good processor, great machine, but in a year or two, it ain't going to scale. Hmm. And Apple have already done dual processor because the single CPU just won't get it right fast enough. And then what are they going to do next? Quad processors? It starts getting to be exceedingly dangerous with heat and...
Well, not only that, you can add processors ad infinitum, but it's still not going to increase the speed of the machine for a single thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's it. What were the timescales again? I think was it 18 months they're looking at the first ones? They think the Mac Minis are going to come out first.
The non-professional Macs are coming out first.
Right, so that's the Minis, the iMacs, and so on.
And the IMAX.
Is there any word on the portable side?
They're going to do it. there's no promises on which processors are going in. But to be perfectly honest, with the Pentium M series, it has to be 64-bit, I believe. I believe they're aiming for 64-bit.
It can do so much more with the 64-bit machine. So.
Oh, booyah.
Absolutely.
So... Yeah. It's going to be one of these things that in a couple of years no one will care about, but because everyone will just be switched over. I mean, I remember the move over to the PowerPC from the 6800, and I took a performance hit for that. And I actually bought the 6100. I waited for buying a Mac in 93. Was it 93? 94. Anyway, I bought a Mac around 93, 94.
Yeah.
And it was just when the PowerPC was being released. And I got myself the 6100 instead of a slightly more powerful 68,000 chip.
Yeah.
Because I was doing Photoshop work, and Photoshop, Adobe promised a plugin for these PowerPC chip, and it was actually good, but everything else was slower. So you bought a faster, more powerful machine, and everything was slower under emulation. And I do believe that
upgrading Windows.
Yeah, and I do believe that Apple will not make this mistake again. Mm. They got bitten by it, but they had back then. They had the design market by the balls, and people were pretty much locked in.
Yeah,
which kept them alive and kept people buying them, and it got them through the time. What they've got now is they've got the iPod to carry them through the lean times, if there are any.
So you think the iPod will basically hide the fact that nothing's happening on the PC front for a while?
Yeah, if people do start suffering from the Osborne effect, which obviously we need to clarify, had nothing to do with the Osborne, it's just been thrown at it. I'm still going to use the term because it makes such sense, even if it doesn't relate to the Osborne. But yeah, if people are going to have the Osborne effect where announcing a product will kill the current product because everyone's waiting for the newer, faster one. If that does happen, then the iPod will carry Apple through, as will their $6 billion of reserve cash.
That's nothing.
Microsoft has something like $250 billion.
Yeah, but...
Anyway, do you ever get the impression we pay these people too much?
It's a good question. Yeah. Are we paying too much? No.
No.
We're paying... If people were willing to pay, or if people couldn't pay this much, they wouldn't. We're victims of market forces.
That's something I've never been convinced of. I'm fairly sure that if Microsoft, for example, were to reduce the cost of Windows, then I think they'd probably sell exactly the same number, but people would be happier with it. And they can afford to do it.
Yeah, but that's like saying we're losing money on every sale, but we're making up for it in volume.
But I mean, from Apple's point of view, I think they could do with. I mean, they have reduced prices massively recently.
Yes.
In fact, just after I bought a Mac, they halved the price of the thing. That was a few years ago.
Yeah. The thing is with the Apples, though, is they can't. I mean, at one point they were selling Macs as pretty much as fast as they could make them. I think with the Intel move, they will be able to get faster manufacturing, but I don't think Apple is going for, you know, everyone's saying, oh, well, they should get the market share that Microsoft has, blah, blah, blah. I don't think Apple's aim is to have 95% of the market, and thank God for that, because can you imagine the industry if Steve Jobs were at its head?
Yeah, no,
I think Bill Gates is a bit of a...
They want the quality market rather than the quantity.
Yeah. And Jobs is exactly the man for an underdog company. Put him on top. Eesh.
Yeah. And having said that, I mean, if you take the Mighty Mouse we were talking about earlier, £39 for a mouse that's basically flipping, you know, advanced, is not bad for an initial introduction. The IntelliMouse, when it came out, I don't know about now, came out at £70.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, sort of mouse only, none of your the fancy software that came along later.
But I do believe they should have made the Mighty Mouse wireless.
Oh. You can get it wireless, can't you? Oh.
Not yet, no.
Ooh.
No. When it becomes wireless, it replaces my Microsoft. I do like my Microsoft mouse, it has loads of buttons and a wheel.
But it can go.
But if I could have it, and it's wireless. But if I had a wireless Mighty Mouse, I would probably replace my Microsoft Mouse.
Quick correction, the Mighty Mouse is £35 and comes with free shipping.
From the Apple Store, I presume.
From the Apple Store, yeah. I was looking at the other mouse.
The Bluetooth mouse.
The Bluetooth mouse is £4 more expensive.
Bluetooth.
Yeah, but it does so much more.
Yeah, but it's Bluetooth. Bluetooth rocks.
It does. Anyway, up for another day.
Yes, and... Oh, the latest news on the x86 front is the developer machines have been released to developers, $999 for all of you ADC members, and the machine, rental, by the way. You rent the machine at $999. You have to get it back at the end of next year.
Ouch.
$999 for a developer's machine. If you're doing that much development, you can afford it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah,
do you get any discount on a new machine when they come out?
Why would you do that? No.
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 That's interesting.
Mm.
Yes. Way of doing things. Why do they want them back? What are they going to do with them?
I have no idea.
Odd. But we should contact Apple and say, what are you going to do with them?
Probably
a few quid, you know.
Yeah, because they'll listen to us. We're nobodies. Give us your toys.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, but the recent news was, two bits of news about the developer's version. The first being is BB Edit, Barebones Software, who makes software I actually pay for out of my own pocket the day it comes out and I upgrade. BB Edit, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful piece of HTML or text editor. I don't do C++ coding, so I don't know about it for that, but great for HTML, CSS. Yeah. Perl, PHP. BB Edit released their latest version, and they said, by the way, this will run on the Intels as well. We've compiled it for Intel as well.
Yeah, this is using the... do they call it a super binary or something?
Fat binary.
Fat binary, that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They just thought, well, while we're here, click. Yeah. There you go, it's compiled for Intel as well.
Yes, it did.
We might as well. Yeah. Yeah. And there's some people who need to do Endian changes for the really hardcore stuff, but most people will notice no change.
Yeah.
And for BB Edit, they noticed no change and thought, well, actually, these guys in developers' machines will be using our software, so let's just, if they own it, they can have the Intel version as well.
Yeah.
Which I thought was impressive. I mean, the machine's not even... I've not even seen one yet, and already software runs on it and is available in shops for it.
Yep.
And the second piece of news about x86... OS 10 is it's been cracked.
Well, cracked is a bit of a term that I don't think is right.
There's DRM on it, and the DRM has been circumnavigated. So.
Oh right.
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that. I thought it was just a few changes they'd made in the source to get it to. Anyway.
To remove the DRM.
by cracked basically means that it will run on a standard PC. Doesn't need any Mac specific hardware.
I've been hearing good things about it running on Dells.
Yes. Yes, the one I got here is a MyTac. It's on the Mac Bidui. That's it. Again, we'll post a link.
And one of the guys of Mac Bidui was actually on the Irish road trip with me.
Was he?
Indeed.
Excellent. Yes, they've got it running on a MyTac 8050D of Pentium M 1.6 GHz, which is a pretty slow machine by today's standards.
But it was important because of the ATI graphics card.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, so I wonder what Apple's response is going to be to that.
There are conspiracy theories about it being a supposedly good leak, but to be perfectly honest, I don't think Apple likes leaks of any kind.
No.
There's not a lot they can do.
Suing people.
Hmm.
Yeah. Anyway. It was bound to happen. You know, there's nothing they can do to stop it. You put as many barriers up as they want, it's still going to get broken.
You're giving it to a technical community of developers. Yeah. What do you think's going to happen?
Yes. Anyway, yes, that's very exciting. End of next year, we'll see whether it's actually going to be a good thing or a bad thing.
I think it's going to be a great thing.
I would agree, but...
But of course, time will...
Right, blimey, we've been going for a long time.
Indeed we have.
Yes.
We've got anything else? One thing left on the list, yes. Last
you
week's
put,
Top Gear.
One.
I did indeed, last week's Top Gear.
Top Gear rocks.
For those of you in the colonies, or in fact on the European continent, that's not Holland, who apparently do get it somehow, Top Gear is a British BBC TV car show that shows you all about cars, and
you missed out good British BBC TV car show.
Well, yeah, it's rather shocking because car shows in general are not that interesting.
Should we mention the Channel 5 effort? No, I don't think we should.
There is a Channel 5 effort, and it sucks.
Fifth Gear.
I mean, we're not really trying to copy Top Gear.
No, except they do have you know, better looking host.
They do they? I've never seen it. I just couldn't be asked.
Oh well. Anyway,
who's the host?
Back to Clarkson.
Oh yes, Clarkson. I don't know. I just thought it was.
We should export Clarkson, you know.
What? Anywhere but.
Anywhere here. Yeah.
apart from the fact that he's really, really good at playing on the fact that he's a knob.
Yes, that's true.
And part of the show's appeal is everyone knows Jeremy Clarkson is a knob, yes. Including Jeremy Clarkson.
Absolutely. Actually, I like the little guy.
Hamster.
Hamster. Yes.
Richard Hammond.
Yes, Richard Hammond. The other guy I'm not so sure about, but he has just bought himself a Porsche.
Yes. So, the conservative James May.
Yes, he's obviously, you know, something's rubbing off on him. Buying Porsches.
But it's a great show, and unfortunately it's over for this year.
Yes, last week was the last one of the series.
And it'll be back in the autumn as usual. But it was just very entertaining. It's going to be interesting having to wait until autumn. But then again, autumn's not that far away, really, is it?
No, it's not. But Clarkson was saying that there's cars coming out between now and then that he wanted to review.
Mm.
Or translated, he wanted to get behind the wheel of them and play with. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a bit of a shame it's off. But they do great things like battles between a tank and a Land Rover.
Or a sniper squad and two German high-performance open-top cabriolets.
Yeah. Although, what was the other one? They had
Apache
races,
helicopter and the Lotus.
Parts of the world.
Which was excellent. And I do remember that was the one where we saw the DB9,
yes.
Which I have to say is fascinating, lovely car that... I would like to grow up when I grow up. I'd like to have one then, please.
When you grow up? Never going to happen.
No, no, no. Good. And that's why I bought one of those.
Yes, yes. So yeah, Top Gear.
Yeah, top show. And it's just farewell, see you next year.
Yes. That was it, was it?
That's pretty much.
Okay. Excellent.
Right. Well, if Spadge dropped into the show, he would have had more opinions on it. But
he has opinions on everything. We'd have been here for hours.
Which is probably not a good idea for the bandwidth.
No. No, see, I'm paying for it. Oh, yes, plug time, plug time.
Plug!
Plug time, right. Yes, I run a company. It's a hosting company. We host websites. It's called sharedserver.net. I'm generously, I mean generously, donating bandwidth to this and many other good causes. But if you need hosting, it's fairly cheap. Service is excellent, as I'm sure Jared would agree.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I host www.23x.net. 23x.net on shared server.
I'm
hijacking your plug. Isn't it good?
Get off my plug.
Your plug can be bigger on the website. How's that?
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Shared server, it's great.
That's what I was after. Anyway, so that was it, really. I think we'll probably have some, you know, really interesting sign-off music now that Jared will write. yeah.
Okay, I'll get on with the sign-out music as soon as we're done.
Yes, which is now.
Bye! Bye.
Entertaining and educating.
Well, why can't you just masturbate like the rest of us?